Would you open your Bibles to Psalm 116? Psalm 116. And I want to look at Psalm 116, specifically two verses that really encapsulate my heart after this weekend of gathering with the Emmanuel Network pastors and churches. If you don't know what I'm talking about, the Emmanuel Network, here's what I mean. God has allowed us over the years as a church to send many men away, along with their wives and families, to plant churches, revitalize churches, and to cultivate greater health in a church. And by God's grace, 10 of our network partners and 4 network churches came back to be with us over the course of this last weekend. And we got to spend time with them, just being encouraged by them. And that was just such an absolute blessing. To be perfectly honest, I woke up this morning. That's my brother wooing in the back. That's good. Nathan, you like totally got me off track. Like no one else, like nobody else can. That's amazing. So Ward Young came up to me yesterday after when Nathan was singing. Nathan's got a large voice. And a rather large personality, and he says there aren't too many personalities in the world, Ryan, that can just swallow you up. And I said, no, there really aren't. So I was swallowed up by my dear brother. I wanted to begin this morning, before we read Psalm 116, by thanking you, the people of Emmanuel, and more specifically, thanking God for you. Your labors in prayer. How many of you were just in a prayer service? Just put up your hand. Way up. So your labors in prayer are feeding and serving those who've gone out from here. Just amazing to see. Let me just begin by showing you some of the people you're serving. So if you are one of the Emmanuel Network pastors or church planters, maybe you could just stand up for a second. I see Russ and Keith. And Todd and Rocky, who else is in the service? Matt McCartney. And we've had other guys in the services. We've had men in every single. You guys can be seated. Thank you. Oh, and also Andy and Jenna. Good to see you. These beloved co-laborers have been with us all weekend. And I think I can say before the Lord, they have been receiving the answers to your prayers. So Matt McCartney, our dear brother who we sent out to New Orleans last year, was preaching the other day, and Ben Hedrick leans over to me while Matt DeLauder. Okay. I was resolved not to tell you how tired I am, but I see it's becoming apparent. So there was a Matt. And he was preaching, and as he was preaching, there was a Ben, and he leaned over to me, and he said, man, Matt DeLauder is just getting better as a preacher, and that's saying something, because Matt DeLauder has always been a great preacher. And after he was done, Matt DeLauder was saying, you know, I just have such a sense of expectancy and power when I preach here, because I know the people of Emmanuel are praying for me. And beloved, I thank you because I know I labor with that every week. And that is the power of God, that's the kindness of God on your lives. We had another pastor. He was a Chris, this one. Chris was saying that when he got here, he was so tired, just kind of dull, kind of spent. And when he got here, he felt like Peter when he returned to Narnia. And he breathed in that Narnian air. And after a few days of breathing Narnian air, he was able to handle his sword again. That's just a great blessing. We hope that many of the pastors who were here really felt invigorated and strengthened by what they experienced. And what I want to do this morning is just to try to give you some sense of what's feeding my soul and giving me encouragement regarding what you are supporting in prayer, and then to encourage you, I hope, to pray more and with more expectancy that God would do exceedingly abundantly more than all we ask or imagine. You know, the crazy thing about praying that God would do exceedingly more than all we ask or imagine is, whenever your faith grows, exceedingly abundantly beyond is still way further out. And that's what God does to us in our Christian life. He stretches our faith and grows our faith so we can believe Him for more things. Let's read Psalm 116. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my prayers, my pleas for mercy. Because He inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call on Him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed. Even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. Here's our two verses. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are weak and frail and unable to keep our thoughts straight or our words straight apart from your help. We're unable to listen. We're unable to receive. We're definitely unable to shine light on your word on our souls. But you are more than capable of doing all of these things. And we ask you, because of your great mercy through your precious Son, that you would shower down grace on us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? Or as another translation puts it, I may be combining a few translations here, but it makes it very simple. How will I repay God for all of His goodness to me? I like that because I can't remember the time I naturally asked myself, now how will I render to the Lord? But I have thought about paying people back. And here the psalmist says, how will I repay the Lord, or what shall I repay the Lord? What do I give to God? And then he tells us he's going to lift up a cup and make a call. That's what I want to explore this morning. Before I do, I want to just survey the psalm and get a picture for the whole psalm, if you will. And the psalm is really a microcosm, a miniature of the whole Christian life. It's a psalm of remembrance, deliverance, thanksgiving and devotion. Notice the remembrance in verse 1. Psalm 116, verse 1, the psalmist says, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. You have some ultra-spiritual types who will tell you, you've got to love God for who He is, not what He does. But beloved, we never know who God is except for by what He does. And in what He does, He reveals Himself to be a God who gives mercy. And we shouldn't be surprised that love is inflamed by answered prayer. One of the great reasons why our elders try to lead the congregation to give themselves to weekly prayer is to inflame your love. I love the Lord. Why? Because when I talk to Him, He actually listens to me and responds to little old me. That's amazing. And so this is a psalm of remembering God's answers to our prayer. Not only is it a song of remembrance, but it's a song of deliverance. Look at that in verse 8. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. After the second service, I had a brother who was in town for the Emmanuel Network Conference come up to me and say, I was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease years ago. And that psalm you preached was what comforted me when I first received the diagnosis. God ministered to him by the words of verse 7, Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. This psalm is a psalm about a man who was about to die physically. He was in trouble, maybe under enemies, maybe under disease. We don't know. But it is amazing, isn't it? How many times before we die, we almost die. Many people have a story of a surgery, a car accident, a riptide, a drug overdose, a time they almost died before they died. This is a psalm about being delivered from such a time. This man was on the edge of death, and he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered him up out of death so that he continued to live. It's a song of remembrance. It's a song of deliverance. And it's a song of thanksgiving. You see that in verse 12, our verse. How am I going to repay God? He's given me so much. I was going to die, and I'm alive. How am I going to repay God? What shall I do? You see that you hear the thankfulness behind in the heart there. You see it explicitly in verse 17 when the psalmist says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'm going to thank you. I'm not going to let this go unnoticed. I'm not going to blink it. I'm not going to pretend it's no big deal to be delivered from death. I'm going to thank you. And then it is a psalm of devotion. You know what people often do when they're about to die? If they're praying people, I don't know why this is the case, but it's the case. They start promising God things. Lord, if you keep me alive, I promise. You ever been there? I did it once. I was a brand new convert. I said, Lord, if you take me through this next round of layoffs at work, I'll go to Bible college. I made it through that round of layoffs. The psalmist says in verse 13, I will lift up the cup of salvation. I will call on the name of the Lord. Verse 14, I will pay my vows to the Lord. I'm going to do what I said. I've given myself with devotion to the Lord, and now I'm going to do it. God, you rescued me from death. I made you promises when I was on the edge of death, and now I'm going to do what I said I would do. He does it again in verse 18. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. It's a remembrance psalm, a deliverance psalm, a thanksgiving psalm, and a psalm of devotion. And really, it should have no trouble finding resonance in the Christian soul. Because surely we can remember the great time God delivered us from death And we promised him that we would obey him all the days of our life. I want you to notice three things about our two verses. Three things about our two verses: a question, a cup, and a call. A question, a cup, and a call. The question is the one we've already been thinking about. How am I going to repay God? What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits to me? You've been so good to me. How am I going to pay you back? What am I going to give you? What am I going to return to you for all you've given to me? What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? That's the question. The cup is this one, and we'll explain it a little later. I will lift up the cup of salvation. And then finally, we have this call. I will call, and I will call on the name of the Lord. Let's begin by looking at the question. And I think you'll agree that it is a question that every single person, man, woman, and child who's ever lived, should ask. Because every single person, man, woman, and child who's ever lived, has received everything they've ever had from the Lord. Amen? In the book of Acts, chapter 17, Paul is preaching to unbelievers who didn't have the Bible. And he said, in the book of Acts, it says, it speaks of God as the one who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, that's pretty much everywhere. He made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. He has given you rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling you with food and your hearts with joy. Every single thing you've ever eaten, God gave you. Whether you're a believer or not, from Cheerios to caviar, from steak to salmon, it's all from God. Every bit of it. Every single thing that's ever touched your taste buds, ever been smelled by your nose, every aroma you've ever taken in, everything you've ever touched, heard, every bird you've ever heard chirp was a distinct God gift from you, from God to you. He made everything. And every time you've ever felt full or had a smile on your face, that joy came from God. And it's amazing how much food and how much life and how much joy God gives everyone. If you are 10 years old this morning, so some of you might need to do the math. If you're 10, you have been given 3,653 days from the hand of God. If you're 20, you've been given 7,305 sunrises and sunsets from God. If you're 30, and just to depress some of you, the 30-year-olds were born in 1987. I had someone in the second service nearly have a midlife crisis when she heard that. If you're 30, you've been given 10,958 24-hour days from Yahweh. If you're 80, you've received 25,568 days from God, and you've actually received the same number of weeks as a 10-year-old has received days. If you're 10, you've received 78,914,115 breaths from God. Here you can have another. And another. You want another? If you get on a treadmill I'll give you a bunch more. At 10, you've received 378,787,752 heartbeats. That's a 10. At 80, you've received 631,161,330 breaths and 3,029,574,384 heartbeats. And the fact that you've only skipped a couple is a miracle. According to USA Today, by the time a person has lived their entire lifetime, they have eaten 7,000 animals. You're dangerous. Thirty-five tons of food, according to one website, is what we eat in a lifetime. 7,000 animals, by the way, is divvied up this way. 11 cows, 27 pigs, 2,400 chickens, 80 turkeys, 30 sheep, and 4,500 fish. I say, who's eating all that fish? Chicken beware. You're just eating. The next time you're driving through Kansas and you've got a couple of farmers' fields beside you, you just look over and say, I've eaten a couple of those. And each morsel of food, each heartbeat, each breath is God's individual gift to you. What on earth are you going to do to repay him? How are you going to do that? What shall I do? What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? This is not only a question that every person should ask, it's a question that the psalmist was right to ask. Because you see, the psalmist had had their physical life spared by God. You see that, don't you? In Psalm 116, specifically in verse 8. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. He had been delivered from dying. And in this room, I wonder how many people have faced cancer and lived, faced a car accident, lived, faced an asthma attack and lived, faced being drunk in a gutter or an overdose and lived. And that faced surgery and lived. You know, every time you come out from under anesthesia, it's a miracle. You know that not everyone does, right? This psalm actually historically has often been read after the birth of a child. Because, beloved, one of the things we're tempted to forget in this culture is that it's a miracle when a woman comes through childbirth. Infant mortality rates and mother mortality rates at other times and other places are severe. And it's a miracle every time one of us is taken through the valley of the shadow of death and lived. 10 years ago, this August, my wife was diagnosed with cancer. Aggressive breast cancer that God, by His grace, through surgery and chemotherapy, God saved her from. And as a result of His kindness of lifting her up, She has received 78,914,115 breaths since cancer. That's 378,787,752 heartbeats. That's 10 years I got to be with her. 10 years my kids got to be with her. I'm pretty sure that it wouldn't be right to speculate how many tons of food she's eaten in the last 10 years. No wife wants you to do that. How can we repay the Lord? Well, what are we going to give Him? What will we give to the Lord? What shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits to me? And of course, no one should be able to ask that question better than the Christian. Because, of course, the Christian hasn't just been rescued from a bout with cancer or from a severe asthma attack. The Christian has been rescued from impending eternal death. The Christian has been rescued from eternal hell. The Christian has been rescued from forever in eternity where the worm does not die. He's been rescued from a death where you never die, from a condemnation where the sentence is never fully carried out, and the wrath of God beats against our souls for all of eternity, except that Christ came and stood in the gap and paid the penalty for all of our sins through His death on the cross. What are you going to pay God back with? Infinite days of misery you will never see. You know, in heaven, you're going to get a bazillion trillion heartbeats and then an infinite number more and never skip one. I believe as a church, we should be extremely thankful for not only these things, but the way that God has advanced the cause of the gospel in our midst. As we gathered our Emmanuel Network partners, it was amazing to hear the stories of how prayers have been answered. Many of you know these men we were praying for by name because you're in prayer rooms praying for them by name. And so you should be encouraged to know that Chad Ashby, who we pray for regularly, is at a church that has very little money and in fact was living week to week. They had so little money and in fact they weren't sure if they were going to be able to keep the doors open. And Chad was preaching to ask the congregation for one last final push of money when a church down the road had their well run dry. Chad thought, well, I guess we're supposed to help them. So he went to his church, who was already broke, who didn't have the money to pay the bills, who was thinking about shutting the doors, and he says, we better take up an offering for this other church. And so they did. And once they'd provided for the other church, Chad went to his mailbox on Monday, and there was $5,000 for his church. Beloved, those things don't just happen. They are answers to prayer. You walk out of prayer meeting going, oh man, I was so tired, I was so distracted. Listen, you got a lot done. We've been praying for a relational network, not just a formal network, but a relational network. And Dennis Anderson, who pastors in Wisconsin, stood up in front of the pastors and with tears in his eyes, says, every Friday, Andrew Hall and I, who's another pastor in the network, get on the phone together, and he just broke down. This friendship and this support in ministry, it's creating other churches that feed people with the truths you love. We want to be a partnering network, not just Emmanuel does this and Emmanuel does that, but rather we're seeing lots of churches partner together, and it's amazing. At the same time as we've brought Jay Haynes on staff to be launched to Maui next year, Todd Morikawa has brought Rocky Komatsu on staff to be launched to the same church plant. And so we're partnering with that church to provide two godly men, just place like instant elder board, boom, on Maui. We've wanted to be a partnership where churches don't just send their pastors, but they send whole teams to be equipped. And Russ Robinson has been thinking about how he's going to get his whole team to drive from Utah next year. Let me just say those words again. Drive from Utah. Having done such things, let me tell you, you can pray for the miracle next year. You can only imagine my joy when Andy Morris stood up at the conference and announced to us that of our network partners, there have been 7 churches planted this year. New Orleans, Charleston, 3 in Mozambique, 1 in China, and 1 in India. I was dancing. I won't give you an illustration, but it's just incredible. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? Well, the quick answer is nothing. Nothing. There's nothing you can give. What are you going to give? You ever had that problem at Christmas time? Trying to buy the present for the person who has everything? What are you going to give to God? You offer him anything. I got 10 million of those. No, I made this one myself. Yeah, you made it with stuff I gave you. It's just, there is nothing you can give to God. The only thing we can ever give to God is we give thee but thine own. Psalm 50 expresses this so beautifully. It says in Psalm 50, verse 10, every beast of the forest is mine. All 35 tons you ate. Mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds. Now he's getting further. It's not just I own it all. I know it all. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. And then my favorite line. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. What are you going to do for me? If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world and its fullness are mine. Beloved, with God, we never enter into a reciprocal relationship. Never. It is always one way. Now, you can enter into it and give him back what he gives to you, but he is always the ultimate giver, and he is the ultimate one who's, he's just lavishing breaths and heartbeats and food and gospel and churches and the advance of his kingdom through his spirit. It's all coming from him. And so when you go into the realm of repay, your mind just ought to fail because there's no repaying. Because everything is his. Which just ought to just create in us this incredible sense of just satisfied children. And yet David tells us 2 things he does in response to receiving from God. He tells us about a cup and a call. The cup is there in verse 13. I will lift up the cup of salvation. Now this is interesting, because it's not really David giving something back to God, because it wasn't David who saves God. It's God who saves David. So when he lifts up the cup of salvation, he's not saying, hey God, nice salvation, here's mine. Rather, he's lifting up, if you will, a toast to what God has done in saving him. Maybe we can get a little bit more insight into what David is doing by comparing a parallel passage. A parallel passage in this same psalm. The parallel goes like this. Cup, call, vow. Sacrifice, call, vow. Follow me. Verse 13, I will lift up the cup of salvation, cup, and call on the name of the Lord, there's the call, and pay my vows to the Lord. Now drop down to verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord. Do you see that? Vows, vows, call, call. And then side by side are lift the cup of salvation and the sacrifice of thanksgiving. They're basically the same thing. Lord, I lift up to you the cup of salvation. Thank you. I just thank you. The number one thing you can do for God when He gives you a gift is not try to pay Him back. It's just to say thank you. I remember one time the Lord bringing me to conviction over a particular sin. I actually can't even remember what it was, but it was years ago. And just getting down on my knees and asking Him to forgive me. And of course, there's that sense of, well, what do I do now? How do I kind of earn God's forgiveness that's always lingering? What do I do to seal the deal, get really serious for God, something like that. And I remember thinking to myself, after understanding God had forgiven me, there was nothing left to do except worship Him. That's all there is left to do. Just to say, you're awesome, you did it all. And there's a very real sense we could say the same thing about thanksgiving. When you receive a gift, all that's left to do is say, thank you. What would you think if you gave a kid at Christmas? Kids, think about this. What if you got a kid, you got a gift at Christmas, and you wanted a particular toy or maybe a particular outfit, and you open it up and there it is, and it's not like a knockoff brand or the wrong toy or the wrong outfit. The parents got it right. Okay? And you go, this is awesome. I'll be out in the garage making something for you. I got to figure out a way to pay you back. Parents are like, come in here, try the outfit on. Let us see, play with it for a while. Say thank you. The response that God wants in our hearts to the gift He's given us is simply for us to receive it. Lift up the cup and say, thank you for your salvation. Just as a side note, I should mention, that's a great way to battle pride. A lot of times people try to battle pride by denying how much God is giving them. Oh no, it's nothing, it's nothing, it's nothing. What do you call a nothing? I think you're calling God's gifts nothing. Quit it. Instead, when you hear about all God's gifts, what about this? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just thank Him. That'll keep you humble. I am a constant recipient of grace. And then the psalmist turns to the call. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? I'm going to call on Him for more. This sequence of what do I give Him? I'm going to call on Him has actually already been happening in the psalm. Let me show it to you. Look at verse 1. I love the Lord because He has heard what? Heard His call. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. I love the Lord because He's heard my call, because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call. You see that? Put your finger on that. I love the Lord because He's heard my call. Verse 2, therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. Beloved, the response in our hearts to answered prayer should not be, oh man, I don't want to ask Him for more. You have already gotten so much. I mean, that's the way you feel when you take a loan out from your dad. But that's not the way you deal with God, okay? The response to receiving something from God is, wow, I'm going to go ask for more. Or as C.H. Spurgeon would say, we will give our Lord much glory when we get from our Lord much grace. Or as the psalmist would say, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. You just say, well, I just want to glorify the Lord. Well, then ask Him for lots. Are we supposed to ask for lots? Yes. Just not selfishly asking for lots, but lots along the lines of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Spurgeon again quoted this little hymn, the best return for one like me, so wretched and so poor, is from His gifts to draw a plea and ask Him still for more. You ever been healed? Ask for more healing. You ever been delivered? Ask to be delivered again. You ever had finances provided for you? Ask for finances to be provided for you again. Ever been denied what you wanted but been sustained beyond what you dreamed? Ask to be sustained again. Ask for more. I told you about Russ Robinson's church wanting to bring a whole team driving from Utah. Now you should know that this is a team that's used to giving things away. That church has about 60 people. They just sent 3 families away to plant a new church. Russ asked for more this year. Were you kind of blown away like me that we saw 7 churches planted last year? Ask for more. There's 15 network partners. How about they all plant one? Or 2? Ask for more. We've been able to have a Matt DeLauder on staff and a Brian Powell on staff and a Jay Haynes on staff. But beloved, I think we could have 3 of these men on staff at a time. Well, we can't afford it. Have you been listening? Ask for more. I think he's got a few more cattle on a few more hills. I think if he digs real deep, he's going to be okay. We are dealing with a God of infinite grace and infinite resources. Many of you know the story of how when God gave us a new building, we had to raise $5 million in 21 days. And you may remember that a brother stepped up and said, I'll match offerings 10-1. And we were able to raise $5 million in 21 days. What I haven't shared with you before is that as we talked about giving and giving 10-1, we also talked about maybe after a building we ought to plan something even bigger. Some huge missionary goal. Wouldn't it be great if instead of raising $5 million for a building, God raised $50 million to send more people across the earth? You got faith for that? I believe you could do that. I believe you could do that and more. At this point, I'll be really honest, I wouldn't know how to spend that much money yet. Maybe that's something we should be praying about together as a congregation. Lord, you've done so much. Would you give us a vision for more? Listen, I do not believe Emmanuel Baptist Church is God's gift to Christendom. Don't believe it one bit. There's lots of great churches in the world. There's lots of mighty men of God. There's lots of people trying to be faithful to the Scriptures all over the world. And we just get to play one small part in that. But here's what I do believe. I do believe that thousands and tens of thousands and even of hundreds of thousands of places that call themselves churches simply aren't. They don't have a true gospel. They don't follow God's word. They don't lead people to heaven. They lead people to hell. And so I have no shame in telling you I want to plant thousands and tens of thousands of gospel preaching, biblically submissive churches all over the world. Not to advance some little kingdom, but to see the glory of Christ advanced in His kingdom through the local church. And with all we've received, shouldn't we call? With all we've received, shouldn't we call? If you've never been to a prayer meeting, wouldn't it be the time to start? If you've never carved out a prayer closet, wouldn't the time be now? With all we've received, shouldn't we call? Let's pray. Lord, we love you because you hear our prayer. And we lift up the cup of salvation and we thank you for saving us. And now, Lord God, we want to ask you for even more, because you who did not spare your own son but graciously gave him up for us all, how will you now not also graciously give us all things that we need for life and godliness? We plead with you, Lord God, that you would advance the cause of your kingdom in our individual hearts, in our little small groups, in our little church, and in your great big world. Lord, we pray that you would advance the cause of your kingdom to the ends of the earth, so that you might receive all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. And Lord, we will just shout hallelujah. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.